We welcome you today. Glad you're here. You glad to be here? I'm glad to be here, Teresa. In your bulletin are several announcements I want to make mention of. As you're opening your bulletin, you know that this little card falls out. We'd like to get your new email address from you if you have a new one. I know some of you change every month, so let us have that one from you today. If you have prayer requests, you put on the card. If you're our guest today, we'd sure like to hear from you today and use the card. We promise not to send any gorillas out to your house unless we call ahead and ask your permission for that. A couple of announcements in the bulletin. One is ladies' time out for next month. I hope you'll pay attention to that. Men's camp out coming up the first Sunday of first weekend of November. And then the second weekend of November is baseball camp. And yeah, that's right. That'll be the 13th and 14th of November over here at Grayson Stadium. And if you'd like to help with that, we always need water. We need baked goodies. If you want to know what is appropriate, ask me privately. I'll let you know. I have a wide selection of things. And we have to test all of it to make sure, you know, that it's okay, quality control, all that. But mostly your prayers for baseball camp. It's going to be a great time this year. And then also, yes, we need help, volunteers. So if you put on your card, if you'd like to help, we'd love to have you both of those days. But if you can just help one day, put that on the card for us. Operation Christmas Child, many of you have participated in this before. Basically, you fill up a shoebox with goodies that are sent around the world. There's information on the table in the back about that. Deadline is November 22nd. So we want to get a lot of these and send them all over the world. Kids opening those up with a smile on their faces and know that there are people praying for them, that love them, and care enough to do something like that for them. Let's pray, and then we'll greet one another today. Lord, we thank you for this day. It's a blessing to be here, be part of what you're doing in the world. Thank you for the fall weather, for lower humidity, for cooler temperatures at night. And Lord, especially for all of us that whined a lot during the summer, we're asking your forgiveness for the whining and thanking you, Lord, for cooler temperatures. Now, we bless you. We give honor and glory to the name of Jesus, the Son of Father God. And we invite the Holy Spirit to come into this place now. In your name we pray. Amen. It's good to see you here today. I hope if you have prayer requests, you'll put them on the card that is in your bulletin. And also, on the back of your bulletin, every week you see all these places where our life groups meet. If you're not a part of a life group, I encourage you to join one. Need some information about that. You can see any of the pastors, me or Rick or Dane, and life group leaders are mentioned in the bulletin. But this is another part of your discipleship, being part of the family, that balance of large group and small group. We've been in a series of messages about marriage, entitled Marriage Builders. And today we come to the final one, How to Have a Good Fight. And I know some of you thinking, well, I've got a PhD in that. But I'm talking about a good fight, not just a fight, but a good fight, how to have a good fight. Seldom does a couple understand the true art of conflict in a marriage and handling it until it's too late. Because by that time, you know, we've become prosecuting attorneys, you know, and bringing out the evidence, you know, making your case and all. I know some of you are looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. I know better than that, and so do you. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, I want to start out today's message with a little clip from days gone by.
Oh, what a day! You wouldn't believe it. You just would not believe it. Alan wanted a complete rewrite. Buddy came in late. Sally left early. I lost my wallet. I got a ticket for jaywalking. And on top of that, I think I'm getting a cold sore. What is that smell?
Your son broke a bottle of shaving lotion.
Oh, no, not my Essence of Matador.
No, it's the other one, that cowboy stuff.
My stirrup and saddle?
Yes.
That stuff runs $4 a bottle.
Rob, don't go in there in your bare feet.
I'm not in my bare feet. I may be a little casual in my dressing.
And now, darling, let's not have any remarks about the way I'm dressed. You'd have the kind of day that I've had.
I was talking about me, not you.
Well, I know what you're thinking. You probably expect to come home and find me dressed in a ball gown and a tiara. I didn't even get out of my bathrobe until 3 o'clock.
Maybe you would like to hear about the rest of my day.
All I'm asking, darling, is for a little understanding when you come home, a little charm.
Charm? Honey, who do you think I am? Fred Astaire?
It wouldn't hurt you to emulate him.
What do you want me to do? Come home every night and dance my way into your heart? Honey, you remember I work in the big city?
And life is very exciting here on the Riviera. Hi, Daddy.
Oh, hi, Richie.
That's right, side with him.
All I said was hi, Richie.
Sure, you can afford to say hi, Richie. You don't have to clean up after him.
Laura!
Richie, dear, say goodnight and go to bed.
Goodnight, Daddy.
Good night, son.
I'll be in a minute, darling.
Never mind, Mommy.
You're going to have to talk to that boy.
I would love to. You just sent him to bed.
Talk to him later. I've had dinner waiting for an hour.
I've had mine.
You've had your dinner?
Well, yeah, I had to work late, so I picked up a fast cheese sandwich on the way home. I thought I'd save you the bother.
Well, why didn't you call me?
I forgot.
Did it ever occur to you, Rob, that I might like to eat?
Well, go ahead. Who's stopping you? What do you want me to do? Cook it for you? Honey, I'm sorry. That's the sports. It's just that... Well, everything went wrong today.
Then I suppose you think everything went right for me.
I didn't say that. Oh, ow! Oh, ah! Oh, darn, Ottoman!
Quick, you don't have to bark at me. The Ottoman's been in this room for years, Mr. Astaire.
I wasn't barking at you, Ginger. I was talking to the Ottoman.
What are you doing?
I'm going to sit here and make some paper hats for this gay party we seem to be having.
Darling, why don't you save your marvelous jokes for the office? There are a few more important matters around here that require your attention.
Listen, when I have had a hard day at the office, I would like very much to come home.
So why don't you? You don't. Home? You don't call?
I'm here. I came home.
You refuse to speak to Richie.
Refuse? You just sent him to bed.
All you do is just sit there reading your paper.
How can I read the paper? You tore it up.
Of course I tore it up. I don't know how to handle a newspaper. I'm not familiar with the way it's folded because I never get time to read one. I'm cooped up here, Rob, and the whole time you're down there, and you come home, I knock myself out, and you have the nerve to... Well, you try it sometime.
All right. Very well. If that is the way you want it, have it your own way. That's the way you want it. You'd probably like to know where I'm going. Very well. If you must know, I'm going for a drive.
Well, don't expect to find me waiting up for you. Mr. Astaire.
The scripture says in Ephesians 4:26, when you're angry, do not sin. And be sure to stop being angry before the end of the day. Another translation says, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Part of the art of marriage, and it is a lot more art than it is science, isn't it, men? Part of the art of marriage is learn how to have a good fight, a fair fight, because you are going to have conflict. You know, we could sit here all day and talk about all the sources of conflict and where conflict comes from. All we know is that it comes into every marriage, and we have to deal with it. And how we deal with it is a great determining factor of the health of the marriage and the longevity of a marriage. Now, there's some lies about marital conflict. Many of these lies are just woven into the fabric of our beliefs about marriage. Some are passed down for generations from one family to another. Some are just things that are in the culture. Some of these lies we believe because we saw mom and daddy practice them. They were lived out before us. So let's look at a few of them. The first one. Real marital conflict only takes place in bad marriages. You know, the couple's dating. You know, everything's peachy keen. They're best when they see one another. If they have a conflict in the dating process, they go home and take it out on one another's families. And they don't see one another for several days. But then when they meet again, they make up and it's all great. The problem with that is when you get married, you go home, and who are you home with? And what are you going to do? That's right, Daniel. You're home with your woman. Conflict. How do you get through it? Fact is, conflict happens in all relationships. There are no exceptions. If you're in a relationship with anybody, parental relationship, friend, whatever, there's going to be conflict. And if you haven't had a conflict, then you really are not in a real relationship with that other person, are you? You're going to go at it sometimes. Now, if you believe that conflict only happens to bad marriages, then here's some conclusions you must come to. You must have a bad marriage, and you might as well head on down to divorce court. Because you got a bad marriage, and let's go ahead and end it right now. Or you'll pretend that marriage has no conflict and therefore suppress your feelings for the rest of your marriage. And how does that work out? You press it down, you press it down, you press it down, and one day, kaboom. You know, those times where one is just taking, and they say, oh, we've just never had a conflict in our marriage. Those are the ones where you come home to a dead body. Or you suppress your anger to the point that you do something stupid. A second lie about marital conflict. If you ignore the conflict, it'll eventually just go away. Right? That's kind of like leaving that garbage in the kitchen. I'll just ignore it and it'll go away. And what happens to it each day? It stinks more and more and more. Such to, you can't get away from it. You can't even go out on the front lawn and get away from it. Guy with termites in his house said, yeah, I'll just ignore them. They'll go away. Yes, they'll go away when there's nothing left to eat. Third lie about marriage. It's always about conflict. It's always good to sleep on it. Not what the Bible says. Because what happens? Well, it's kind of like going to bed with a ticking bomb under your pillow. You've pushed it away, so you don't sleep well that night because you're churning on that. You wake up the next morning, and then you're trying to remember what started it. You're not too good at that. But all you know then is that I'm mad. What are we going to do about it? A fourth lie about conflict that we believe. Talking to others and gaining their counsel ahead of time is helpful. Let me just call Mom up. See what she's got to say about this. That works out real well, doesn't it? Or get my friend involved in it. And usually, the friend that we call is the friend that's recently gone through the divorce. Oh, they've got some great counsel to give you. A fifth lie about conflict. If you really love that person, then you would not disagree so intensely. Now, that one's a little more subtle. You probably did not marry someone just like yourself. In fact, most of us marry someone who is somewhat opposite, personality-wise. It's idiotic to think that conflict is not going to occur. Because these opposites, there's something mysterious about an opposite, isn't it? Exciting. We like that part of them. There's a mystery about it. But what happens when conflict comes in? Then that thing that was exciting becomes a stench in our nostrils. Now, we'll look at some rules on how to have a good fight. But let me read Ephesians 4:25 through 32. This is out of the New Century Version. So you must stop telling lies. Tell each other the truth because we all belong to each other in the same body. Now, let me stop here for just a moment. Married couples here today, if we just started applying what the Scripture says of how one Christian ought to treat another Christian, we wouldn't even have to get to the parts of where it talks about how a husband needs to treat a wife and how a wife needs to treat a husband. You'd solve 98% of the problems right there of how one Christian needs to treat another Christian. Tell each other the truth because we all belong to each other in the same body. When you're angry, do not sin. And be sure to stop being angry before the end of the day. Do not give the devil a way to defeat you. Those who are stealing must stop stealing and start working. They should earn an honest living for themselves. Then they'll have something to share with those who are poor. When you talk, do not say harmful things, but say what people need. Words that will help others become stronger. You ever wanted to reel them back in? as you see those words floating out of your mouth? Then what you say will do good to those who listen. And do not make the Holy Spirit sad. Another translation, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is God's proof that you belong to Him. God gave you the Spirit to show that God will make you free when the final day comes. Do not be bitter or angry or mad. Never shout angrily or say things to hurt others. Never do anything evil. Be kind and loving to each other and forgive each other just as God forgave you in Christ. I bet you never thought of that passage as a marital passage, did you? This passage about relationship, of which marriage is a subset. So, here's some rules. I'm going to give you quickly, bang, 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 10 rules to have a good fight. First of all, you got to tell the truth. He says, stop telling lies. Tell each other the truth. Foundation of every marriage, one of those supreme sound foundations, is the truth. We've got to be truthful with each other about our hopes, visions, dreams, expectations, desires. If we truly believe in oneness in marriage, remember the passage we looked at the last couple of weeks? The two shall become one flesh. Therefore shall a man leave father and mother, cleave to his wife. Two shall become one flesh. Oneness in marriage. Then there's got to be truth with one another. You got to be honest. Got to say what. And even though you know when you say it, it may not be received very well. Eventually the truth is going to come out, isn't it? Better to say it early rather than late. And by the way, as I made a point last week, we can make truth-telling to one another if we make receiving the truth a better situation in our marriage. So someone is not punished for telling the truth. Do you get it? That's a both and part. Some have made such a big cost up here about hearing the truth that people back away from that. Don't want to say it. I don't want to pay that price. Eventually the price is going to have to be paid. So on the other side, we need to tell the truth. But you see, even in that, it's a both and. Do you see it? Are you following me? Be honest. Tell the truth. Number two, allow one another to be angry. The Bible doesn't say if you're angry. What word does it use? When. When you're angry. Please, married couple, any of you, don't ever come to me and tell me in my marriage we've never had a conflict. You're lying. And I'm not going to believe anything else you say after that, because you lie about that, you lie about anything. Oh, we never have conflict. Hogwash. Yes, you do. You can't live this life without it. And it is a pipe dream to think that it can happen. And so often what people do, as we said in the lies, oh, we're having conflict. That must mean we have a bad marriage. No. No. Allow one another to be angry. Anger is a part of our lives. It can be a tremendous motivator. It can be a catalyst that moves our marriage from mediocrity to excellence. Because there's some things you need to get angry about. Bad behavior. There needs to be true anger about that. The Bible never says, don't get angry. That's not what it says. It says, be angry and sin not. What did Jesus do with the tables of the money changers? He turned them over. Call it righteous indignation if you feel better. Oh, I have righteous indignation with you today about this. Sometimes we don't know that we're making that other person angry. And listen, if you're not communicating with one another, that just it just builds and builds and builds and builds. Allow that with one another. Number three, control your anger. When you're angry, don't sin. You see, as we said, anger is not necessarily a sin. Control it. Stop. And sometimes you know what your tipping point is. You know when you drift over the line and you know you're in danger of saying too much. And in the back of your head, you're hearing this voice say, oh, go ahead and say it. You've already said all of this. That's exactly the time when you need to put a marker out there that says, no, I'm not going there. It's kind of like driving by the edge of the cliff. You know, don't put your marker right on the edge of the cliff. Move it back a ways. Give yourself a little room. So if you swerve just a little bit, you won't go over the edge. It's hard to reel those words back in, isn't it? And they become a hurtful replay of an argument. I remember one time years ago, church I was pastoring, we needed a new sign. Man, we got into the biggest hoorah about a sign. And finally, they spent 6 months on deciding about this sign, and then they were divided over, and finally I said, time out. I said, we ain't getting no sign. I said, just not going to happen. Well, nobody argued with me about that. We're not going to have a sign because I'm not going to have a monument out in front of the building to a split. You see, our words can become that as we speak those words. They become a monument. Be careful about your words. Number four, take care of today's problems. When? Today. Stop being angry before the end of the day. You know, you think of the emotional problems that are happening, the physiological problems that come from stress, from suppressed anger. Just think of that. The stomach problems, the whole physiological thing. I mean, because we're a whole being. We're not divided into body, soul, and spirit. We're whole. Here's this great interruption. Take care of today's problems today. Don't suppress the conflict. Number five, be specific about solutions. What does he say? He throws in here, I love this. Those that have been stealing, and it's just an example here, those that have been stealing, stop stealing. They should earn honest living. In other words, here's the point. You do something about the problem. You don't just talk it to death. Oh, we need to do that. No. Get past we need to do that. Here's what I'm going to do. Now, you know, 9 out of 10 couples that you counsel, they know what the problem is. It's the other person. That's easy. Be specific. And it's very easy to dwell on the wrong. It serves absolutely no purpose to stand up and rehearse all the wrongs if you're not willing to move on to the next step of doing what's right and fixing it. A change of attitude, a change of activity, a change of mind, a change of heart. And let me tell you, if this really changes up here, That means this right here is going to change, but you know a third thing that's going to change? Right here. Change your mind, change your heart, and change your action. Because that shows that you mean business. And it's moving into these solutions together. You know, this is a mistake that many couples make. And they get in an argument, okay, we decide on a solution, and then one will sit back, well, I'm going to see if you're going to do that. And it's like that. It's like that. You've heard one go in the chamber. And I mean, as soon as you get out of line on that, bam, I'm going to let you have it. You see, we're one, the Bible says. Keep going back to that oneness. Number 6, be tactful with your words. Scripture says, when you talk, do not say harmful things. You can't unsay those things, as we said before. Take care in how you express your feeling. Listen to me. Some things you're thinking do not need to be said. Do you hear me? Have you learned from that? Oh man, I spoke up when I should have shut up. And it got me in trouble. Yes, I just spit it out. What was on my mind? Preacher, you told me to be honest. No, I didn't tell you to be stupid. There's got to be timing with it. God didn't give you, as I said last week, this crystal ball up here. You look in there and see exactly that. So that's what you're thinking. Number 7, you need to build up your spouse when you can. I'm just walking through this passage I read to you out of Ephesians 4. But say what people need. Words that will help others become stronger. Then what you say will do good to those who listen to you. Are you building that other person up? You know, guys, I love this in the 5th chapter of Ephesians. He talks about the marital relationship. He gets to the men. It says, you need to treat your wife like Christ treated the church. Ooh, now what does that mean? You know, for the average American Christian, that means only see her once every 4 weeks. I'm sorry, I threw that in. That's extra. That was preacher humor. Please forgive me. You can blip that off of there too. Our people online probably don't need to hear that. I'm telling the truth today. But some things don't need to be said. What was I talking about? Build your spouse up when you can. Say what is good. Affirm them when you can. Don't take every opportunity to say the good thing. What was happening in the clip with Dick Van Dyke? So I just want to know, how many of you didn't know who those people were on that clip? Okay. All right. I just wanted to see. Didn't you like some of the words? That $4 cologne? And he actually used the word gay in a different way. Did you catch that? I'm sorry. I've gotten distracted now. That's easy for me to do. Build up your spouse. Say nice things because you're building up your own body. That scripture says that a man should be willing to lay down his life for his spouse, even as Christ laid down his life for the church. Let me ask you, did the church deserve it? A woman needs to respect her husband, be submitted to him. Does that mean he has to deserve it? Build them up. And it's amazing what will happen as you begin to do that with your words and with your actions, speaking their love language. One of the things that Miss Audrey loves a lot, her love language is acts of service. When she comes home and the grass is cut, now it's not just cut, but it's been edged. And every blade that was on the driveway has been blown off. And you can look down the street and see those lines. Oh, man. Oh, boy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is not Brother Dusty's love language. Number 8. Acknowledge that God is present. Do not make the Holy Spirit sad. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Spirit is God's proof that you belong to Him. God gave you the Spirit to show that God will make you free when the final day comes. Remember? Who's present there in your marriage? Who brought you together? Who lives there in each of you? The Holy Spirit of God. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now get this picture. And we come together in oneness and in union. And not only are we joined, but God is joining us together, and He is the cement that brings us together in power and in love. You see, God already knows what we're thinking. He knows everything we're doing. We must acknowledge His presence. Let me ask you this. Would you say some of the things you say if you knew Jesus was sitting right there? He's right there in the room. Wow. Is He? The very Spirit of Jesus is right there with us. It's amazing how acknowledging His presence changes the whole atmosphere. I was telling someone over the weekend about your uncle Clement, our friend, said it was amazing to go around in different places with Clement, Uncle Clement. We'd walk into a place and the whole place would stop. We went by this church building. They were having the National Student Conference for the Nigerian Baptist Convention. We walked in. They didn't know we were coming. And here's Clement and these two Americans. Gary was the guy. We go walking in behind him. We walk into the room. The guy up on the podium, we're on the side. The guy up on the podium, all this stuff, hundreds of people, kids in that room. The whole thing stops and they look over there at Clement. And then he speaks to somebody and they continue to go on. I said later on, I said, Clement, you're just like the Godfather. It changed when he walked in. Hey, that's a man. We're talking about God. He's with us. He is right in the middle of our marriages and He wants to help us. Number 9, quickly. Throw out the trash. Not be bitter or angry or mad. Never shout angrily or say things to hurt others. Never do anything evil. Pretty plain, isn't it? Good question to ask yourself in the middle of a fight. What's my motivation in what I'm about to do or say? And oftentimes, when we're in the middle of a fight, our motivation is, I'm going to retaliate. I'm going to hurt. I'm going to make my point. We need to throw out the trash. Our purpose needs to be to build one another up, not tear each other down. You know, there are some words and phrases that just need to go away from our marriages that do not need to be stated again. I don't know what those are for you in your marriage, but some of them just need to never come back, never see the light of day again. And finally, we need to forgive unconditionally. Be kind and loving to each other. Forgive each other just as God forgave you in Christ. Forgiveness is a choice. If you wait to forgive when you feel like forgiving, you will never forgive. It's an act of faith. That means you probably can't feel it, can't see it, can't understand it. But it's something that we must do. It's got to be done unconditionally. Not I'll forgive you if these things change, but I forgive you. Christ is our model for this. He commands it. He showed us by His example how to do it. And He gives us the power to forgive through His Holy Spirit. But maybe before you can forgive your spouse, you need to come to God and gain His forgiveness. And just possibly today, I'm talking to you and you've never received Jesus into your life. First things first. Why not take care of that most important item of forgiveness and have yourself right with God? Ask Him to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, make you a new person, and change your life, and He will. And then He will give you the power to live in your marriage, to forgive. And maybe today you need to forgive yourself. Some of us in our marriages, we can't get over something in the past. If God can forgive you, then you can forgive yourself. Do you believe that? I hope you've heard what I've tried to tell you from my heart today. Those are 10 things. I could have given you 20, but all I did was bounce right through Ephesians chapter 4, verse by verse. All 10 of those things. Pretty good stuff, eh? Brother Dusty didn't come up with that. The Holy Spirit through Paul. There it is. Let's bow our heads. We're about to open the altar. And my first invitation is if you've never received Jesus in your life, you'd like to receive Him by faith today. July 19th, 1970, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. He's never left me. He'll come into yours and He'll never leave you. What about it? Do you know Him? Maybe some married couples would like to come and pray at the altar today. One of our pastors to pray with you. Life group leaders will be around here today to pray with you. We're available. Maybe you're hearing this message and say, you know, Pastor, that message sounded like it'd be a good message in any relationship. Rightio, again. Every one of those principles works. Lord, I thank you. I honor you today, Lord, that you love us enough to tell us the truth. Lord, today we've opened your word, and your word is life to us. The power of God to change the hearts and lives of men and women and make them new people and fulfill what your desire, your purpose for us, your idea of what we should become, Lord, and for eternity to be with you. Lord, today I ask your forgiveness for settling for life's second best in any place in my life and in our life. Lord, we want the best of all you have to offer. And that always begins with you, Lord Jesus. I'm praying for marriages today. God, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to just come and right now invade all of these marriages that are represented here today. Invade all of these families. Invade all of these familial relationships that we have. Our relationships in our neighborhood. We ask you that you'd come and that we could see resolution to conflict under God's instruction. Come, Lord. We open the altar now. Come as the Lord has led you.
I am waiting, speak to me.
If you have an offering to bring, if you have your cards, we'd like to get those from you. There's a basket in the back, and then these two baskets up here. Come and bring those this time. Look this way, if you will. It's been good to be with you today. A couple of things I want to mention to you. Brownie's got his sister here with him, another Lexi that's here today. Make sure you meet her. Good to see my college girl niece home from Mercer University, Rachel's back there, sitting next to Pop and her mom. That's St. Leanne. She's married to my brother, Vic. Vic's not here, but he's still getting it. Many of you have heard that Miss Kane passed away, 94 years old. This is grandmother to Stacy, to Tina, and Julie. And talk about a saint going home to be with Jesus. What a great woman she was, for all of us who knew her. Her service will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Silcote Baptist Church meeting place. And visitation night at, what's the name of the funeral home? Fairhaven. I still want to say Hubert. And if you see Hubert, aggravate him a little bit. He'll probably deserve it by the time you get there. But God bless you. Go in God's grace today.